You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, a new study shows that by 2050, the percentage of solar energy worldwide will be 3 times higher than originally projected. We'll talk to a UW professor about why previous projections were so far off.
First, an online petition put out earlier this year called for mental health professionals to demand President Trump's removal from office due to mental illness. That's one example of speculation about the president's mental health.
However, our guest psychiatrist wrote a letter to the New York Times saying that while he thinks the president is, quote, badly behaved, he isn't mentally ill. Rather, he says the real question to face is this: what does the election of Trump as the country's leader say about the American people?
Dr. Alan Francis joins us now. He's professor emeritus and former chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Science at the Duke University School of Medicine. He's the author of the new book, Twilight of American Sanity: A Psychiatrist Analyzes the Age of Trump. Dr. Francis, welcome to Central Time.
My pleasure.
Well, you write that you had actually started this book before Donald Trump was a candidate for president. You saw something in the American psyche that had you worried. What was that?
We're not worried about our kids. We're not worried about our grandkids. We're doing things to our world that will bequeath to them something much worse than we inherited. So that I was very worried about the disastrous denial of global warming. Overpopulation, every trouble spot in the world is a trouble spot because of excessive population. The world population has tripled in my lifetime. Resources are disappearing. So many, many problems that our society is delusionally denying, not facing. And then Trump came on the scene, and he put our denial on speed so that all the worst possible policies that we could imagine, he's now instituted. And so I think it's a wake-up call. Either we're going to go down the tubes with Trump, or he's going to give us a kind of shock treatment to get us back to sanity.
And you see kind of one common theme here with those problems you mentioned. They're long-term, serious, complex problems. And you say there's a part of our minds, not just as Americans, as humans, that wants an attractive short-term solution or maybe complete denial of the problem. Is that the core tension here?
Yeah, I guess you have to realize that our brains were wired for the situations our ancestors faced 50,000 years ago. They didn't know whether they'd be alive tomorrow, that they might not find lunch or there might be lunch for a predator. And our brains are wired to make quick emotional decisions, but parts of our brains that are rational have very little control over the parts that are irrational, and they take a lot more time and a lot more effort to work. So Donald Trump represents all that's most primitive in our thinking, most irrational, and he's the accentuation of what was previously going on in America. I think we have to start getting together as a people, recognizing that we have problems, the world has problems, and we have to find solutions that we can agree on. And when you poll the American public, it's a lot less polarized than the politicians. A lot of money has gone into the political process in tearing us apart for the special interests of the very rich and the greedy corporations. I think that the American public's a lot smarter than you'd think when you listen to our president or to the people in Congress. And the tenor of the book is a kind of hopelessness about where things are now, but a hopefulness that we can take this dark age of Trump and turn it back into an enlightenment period.
Now, keying in on President Trump in particular, you're no fan of the president. You make no secret of that. But you say to your colleagues in the mental health profession, don't diagnose him from a distance, and from all signs, we shouldn't be talking about him as someone with a mental illness. Talk about that.
That's a real distraction. I think that the guy is obviously unfit to be president. He's been exactly like this his whole life. He's a big baby, a spoiled brat grown up. He cares only about Trump. He's a con man. He's a liar. We made a bad mistake. But we're not going to correct it with psychological name-calling. Trump is a political problem that we have to face and solve with political tools. Congress has to step in, this new session. They have to step in and start taming him. I am terrified of the thought that he could wake up in the middle of the night and instead of shooting out a nasty tweet, start a war with North Korea. It should be clear to the president that Congress declares war, not Donald Trump. He shouldn't be alone there in the nuclear button. There should be a committee structure, a protocol for making life and death decisions for the whole world. These decisions can't be left on a finger of someone as immature on the nuclear button as he would likely be. So So I think that the mental health professionals who would like to declare him mentally unfit to serve as president, they're right about his being unfit. They're wrong about the diagnosis, and they're naive about the possibility of Pence and the majority of the cabinet ever removing Trump from office based on psychiatric grounds. That just will never happen. It's a distraction to be worrying about the Trump reality show and his psychological motivations every day. We need to tame his policies and not let them sneak things through, like a tax cut that would be a wonderful bonanza for the very rich and really terrible for the rest of us.
Talking to Dr. Alan Francis, author of the new book, Twilight of American Sanity, A Psychiatrist Analyzes the Age of Trump. Now, Dr. Francis, you're talking to a state where more people voted for Donald Trump than his main opponent or any of his opponents. There are people out there listening thinking, what the heck are you talking about? Are you saying we're crazy for voting for President Trump? What would you say to them?
I think there's buyer's remorse amongst a lot of people, and his approval ratings have gone down significantly and will go down further. I think the message that was sent to the country by Donald Trump's election was a very powerful and appropriate message. Many people are suffering. This used to be a worker's paradise. It's now a worker's hell. The rural towns are being completely deserted. The young people are leaving for the cities or for the army. The stores are boarded up. I understand the pain in the country. The message is valid, and we shouldn't discredit the people who are sending it. But Trump is the worst possible messenger. He's a false prophet. He's a fake, a phony, a con man. He's not doing things for the common man. The people he's appointed to the cabinet are billionaires. The tax cut he's proposing is for billionaires. He's made it much harder for workers to get a fair deal. I think if a person in Wisconsin is a patriot and loves America, will they want someone like Donald Trump, who seems to prefer Putin and to believe him more than our own security agencies? I think that for religious people, Donald Trump is not a Christian. He's the exact opposite of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ never once spoke about abortion or about birth control or about gay marriage. Even though all of these were going on in the Roman Empire, he did revile religious hypocrites. I think that the evangelical leaders have been religious hypocrites, selling their souls to get Trump elected. So I think that gradually let's say for a minute, how many people want to be associated with Nazis, Aryans, and Ku Klux Klan racists and anti-Semites? So I think that people who voted for Trump, I don't expect to change their minds in 10 minutes, but I would hope to open their minds to the fact that he was a clever con man, a reality TV host who was able to fool a large percentage of the people enough to get elected. But as Abraham Lincoln said, you can fool all the people some of the time, you can fool some of the people all the time, but you can't fool all the people all the time. And I think a lot of people who voted for Trump must be experiencing buyer's remorse. I hope they are.
You also write that the success of Donald Trump is also in part a failure of Democrats to recognize the pain in many communities out there and to speak to that pain.
Oh, yeah. The Democrats have been weak in victory and pathetic in defeat. I think that if you look at the voting records and the legislative achievements over the last 60 years, the common man has been much better served by the Democratic Party. But the Democratic Party has not been skillful in providing a message that would resonate with the people who they were serving. So they've been in an ivory tower intellectual kind of world that didn't recognize that people were suffering, that they needed both the bills and the message. And my hope is that this will be a wake-up call. The American people can't depend on the radical right, which has now taken over the Republican Party. They can't depend on the Democratic Party, which has been weak and which is now gerrymandered into a position of tremendous disadvantage throughout the country. I think the American people have to start saying, we need to take our country back, not with the fake astroturf populism of the Tea Party, but with a real, what's decent about America? How do we really make it? We can't make America great again unless we make it good again.
We're talking to Dr. Alan Francis, author of the new book, Twilight of American Sanity, A Psychiatrist Analyzes the Age of Trump, about what he sees the rise of Trump revealing about the national psyche of the United States.
And you can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What do you think of the election of President Trump, what that says about our country? And what do you think about the state of the national psyche? What do you think are the biggest challenges we face in our deeply polarized nation? You can call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page.
We'll pick up our conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. And right now we're continuing our conversation about the election of President Trump and what that says about the nation's mental outlook. Dr. Alan Francis is with us. He's the author of Twilight of American Sanity, a psychiatrist analyzes the age of Trump.
You can join in at 800-642-1234 in a time of deep political polarization. What do you think politicians need to do to move the country past the lines we've drawn? What steps do you think we'd need to heal? And what is the right way for a politician to reach out to communities that are feeling economic, cultural, social distress? Call 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. We'll go to our callers now. Mike is with us in Wausau. Mike, hi.
Hi.
What do you think?
Just a couple quick comments. Just one thing I thought about the election was that when I spoke with people on the right, it wasn't as much about how they thought that Trump was going to make things better, but it was just how evil Hillary was, and that's all they could talk about was Hillary. And the other thing is, it seems like with the bubble that we live in today, we don't hear the same message. I mean, the right seems to think things are going rosy, and until we all hear the same message, it's really going to be hard to change.
Mike, thanks for the call. Let's tackle that second point first. We're all living in some ways in our own media reality, Dr. Francis. How do we get past that?
Well, it's a great comments. I think that there's been a 40-year concerted, expensive, and very successful propaganda campaign that split our country apart. And talk radio is the clearest manifestation, and websites that express the views of the radical right, Fox News. I think that Hillary Clinton would have been an average president. It's a little bit and weirdly ironic that Donald Trump is calling anyone else a crook, and the news, the truth other people are expressing is all fake, and the snake oil that he puts out is all true. But a substantial part of the population bought it. 46% on election day, about 35% now. Donald Trump has said that he could shoot someone on Fifth Avenue and his voters would still vote for him. I think that's not completely true, but it's true enough. And I blame this a lot on the fact that although the information available to us now, at just the click of an internet button, is so amazingly rich. There's never been a time when people had more information available to them. At the same time, our judgment and our wisdom is sorely lacking. And it's partly because all of us are in these little bubbles, and we have to find the common ground. We will not survive as a civilization if we allow the kind of global warming and the hurricanes that are falling from it that are supposed to be once every 500 years now happening every 2 weeks. We will not be able to survive this future unless we can come to common sense decisions and policies and plans. And it's a ridiculous thing that Donald Trump has destroyed the Environmental Protection Agency in just a few months. He's appointed energy company lackeys to the most powerful cabinet positions. He's deregulated the energy industry. And the prayers and thoughts that go from the hypocritical leaders to the people of Texas are really very small consolation compared to what we should be doing after these major storms, and that is thinking about how are we going to stop these from happening on such a regular basis in the future? How do we control global warming? I think if people think about the issues in a common sense way rather than from an ideological perspective spouting what they've read in the latest internet thing from Breitbart and what they've heard from Fox News, I think an open-minded view of where we have to go in the future, there'd be a lot less polarization. I think the American people are a lot sounder in their judgments than the polls of the political parties.
Mike, thanks for the call. Go next to Peter in Friendship. Peter, hi.
How you doing?
Good. What do you think?
Okay.
Yep. Go for it.
Yeah, I have a question for you. The thing is, all politicians lie, no matter if they're Democratic or Republican or whatever, just to get into the power that they persuade they think they need to be in. But the question I have is, where do you get your information as that Hillary Clinton or Bernie Sanders would have been a better candidate as a president than Donald Trump when Hillary Clinton was caught in lies? In the same line as Obama when he lied.
Peter, thanks for the call. So Hillary Clinton, any politician has been caught out in lies, sometimes big ones. Is Donald Trump really that much different than what we've seen from other politicians?
Yeah, Donald Trump is a world-class liar without parallel in American political history. He lies many times every day. He flip-flops back on his lies without ever admitting that he had a different lie the day before. It's a false equivalence. They're evils, greater evils and lesser evils. It's a false equivalence to think that Hillary Clinton lied and that her lies somehow equal, the occasional lies, equal Trump's day in and day out lies. Trump is the biggest threat to American democracy since the Civil War. The two biggest protections we have against dictatorship are free press and free courts. And Donald Trump's been attacking both of those. And the assumption that Donald Trump is telling the truth and that the entire media is lying, you have to be pretty gullible to believe that. And what I would suggest is get out from the bubble, stop watching Fox News so much, get into the what may now seem as the evil mainstream press, and read a number of different places, check yourself the facts of what Trump says, see how he flip-flops. And I don't think you'll see he's an equivalent liar. He is the world-class liar in American political history.
Thanks for the call. Is it overstating things, Dr. Francis? I mean, Donald Trump has attacked the press and the courts rhetorically. I mean, a dictator is going to take actual action to shut down a newspaper or throw out a judge they don't like.
Well, he was trying to change the libel laws in ways that would have enforced self-censorship. The great thing about Donald Trump is his utter incompetence and his self-absorption. So he is so bad at what he does that I'm much less afraid of his becoming a dictator now than I was 6 months ago. And in fact, the value he brings to the political discussion now is we can begin to see all the weaknesses in our system that he's been trying to exploit, and we need to strengthen them.
Talking to Dr. Alan Francis, his new book is Twilight of American Sanity, A Psychiatrist Analyzes the Age of Trump. Back to our callers now with Bob on the line in Reidsville. Bob, hi.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the call. I have a concern, and I see hatred in the man. He hated Barack Obama well before Barack Obama was elected president and denied his citizenship. He has done unbelievable kinds of things and I understand Barack Obama got even with him at one point at a press dinner. Okay, I understand that. But the other hatred I see is the hatred of Mexicans. And it's like he absolutely, I mean, to the point that we talked Ford Motor Company out of building a plant to make their Focus model in Mexico. They're going to make it and build it in China now and make a couple hundred dollars more per car.
Bob, we're a little low on time. Dr. Francis, do you see that hate from the president, and do you see it as reflecting something in the rest of us in American culture?
Well, at the very beginning of Donald Trump's career, he was in a lawsuit with the Justice Department because his apartment buildings would not rent or sell to blacks. And he has a long history of being a bigot. But I think a lot of the racism he's recently made so public is more opportunistic. That this was a way he was able to win the presidency, a way he was able to solidify the ugliest portion of his bloc. And I think Donald Trump, the two things to understand about Donald Trump are, think about a spoiled four-year-old brat and think about a reality TV show host. That he will do anything for ratings, he'll do anything to keep his base together, and he'll pander if it requires pandering. So I don't think in his heart of hearts he cares that much whether we accept migrants or don't accept migrants. He only cares about Donald Trump. And he will espouse the worst possible policies if it will further his own self-interest.
Dr. Francis, as we wrap up, let's set President Trump aside for a moment. What is your prescription for the American people in a difficult time? There have been a lot of difficult times that we've gotten through before. What do you hope to see from everyday American people?
Well, this month is tax quotes reform month in Washington. People should be demonstrating against big giveaways to the rich and to the corporations. The 20 richest people in America today now have more wealth than the poorest half of the population. They don't need a tax break. Donald Trump doesn't need a tax break. We should have been much more active in protecting Obamacare. There were far too few demonstrations. The public needs to demonstrate their displeasure with this takeover of radical right-wing policies. But I think the main thing is looking forward to 2018. There's a big disadvantage in the way the country has been gerrymandered, but it's not insurmountable. And I think we have to take our country back from Donald Trump.
We'll leave it there for now. Dr. Francis, thanks for joining us today.
My pleasure.
That's Dr. Alan Francis. He's a professor emeritus and former chair of the Department of Psychiatry and Behavioral Science at Duke University's School of Medicine. He's the author of the book we've been talking about, Twilight of American Sanity, A Psychiatrist Analyzes the Age of Trump. We've got a link to an article that he wrote over at the Central Time Facebook page. You can check it out and share your thoughts while you're there. You can also tweet us at Central Time WPR.
Coming up at 7 o'clock tonight, you can join us for CBC Radio's As It Happens. We'll hear news and interviews from around the world on As It Happens. And then at 8 o'clock, it's Q from the CBC with an interview with comedian Lewis Black, known for smart, angry rants, especially on the topic of American politics. But these days, it seems that everyone's joking about that particular topic that's a problem for Lewis. We'll find out why. That's coming up at 8 o'clock on the CBC's Q.
In the meantime, news is coming up. Stick around for more here on Central Time on the Ideas Network.